I think I'm on. Am I on? Yes, I'm on. So, I'm Katrina. In case you don't know, I'm married to Jeremy. I know sometimes it takes people a little while to figure that out because he's always so busy, we don't tend to sit together. But we're very much married, and I'm missing him this morning. When I spoke in December on healing, I had a dream before I got up to speak, and apparently this happens to a lot of people. You have these crazy dreams about turning up in your dressing gown or something. And I just had this picture of I was speaking, and Scott looked over at Jeremy and went, "No." And Jeremy came up and was like, "Darling, I'll take it from here." And I got something really wrong. I'm kind of wishing they were here today to do that. I feel a bit lost without them. Anyways, a few weeks ago, when Scott and Jeremy were planning for this weekend and for them being away, Scott said to Jeremy that he felt that I had something on my heart that God wanted me to share today. So, I didn't think so at first, but I have actually been thinking about this for a while, and I've been privileged to be with some of you when you're during ministry and so on, and just it's a theme that's been coming out a lot in what's been taught as well, so I hope that it all comes together this morning and will bless you. Sorry, a little bit nervous. Just take a minute. So, basically, this morning it's about us and what God has created us to be and who we are. So, we start at the beginning. Each one of us is created unique, right? We're all different. And we're created by an amazingly creative God who has loved us since before he made us. He says in Jeremiah, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." That's a before and after time love. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Psalms, he shaped us in the womb. And Corinthians, the one who loves God is known by God. And each one of us in our differences is a reflection in some way of the Creator. We are made in his image. And we're evidence of his never-ending creativity. Follow my point. So, in that, God doesn't specifically need us, right? But he's created us because he loves us and he wants to enjoy us and be part of us, to be part of his plan and what's happening. And he uses us to fulfill that plan and to bring more people into and knowing him, and he uses us. It's amazing throughout history and to write the story of eternity. I just give you a couple of pictures in case you're a mind picture kind of person. You think of a jigsaw puzzle. Often to us, our lives and even history can look like the back of the puzzle. It's the brown, plain pieces that don't look like they fit together. But God is making the masterpiece on the other side where all the pieces fit perfectly together, and it's going to make this amazing picture in the end. Another way of looking at is pottery with the potter, and how you have all the different vessels and different cups and different vases, and how they're each a different shape, and God has a plan for each of those. He even uses the cracked ones, and I'll talk about that a bit soon. So we're all different and we all work together. And then another picture in the Bible is the body of Christ, right? That we're each a part of the body. And Jesus says, is it Jesus? Paul? Somebody. In the Bible it says how, you know, some of us are an eye and some of us are an arm or, you know, a leg or whatever. And because I have a background in medical stuff, it got me kind of fascinated. Did you know that there's 206 bones in the body and there's 640 muscles? Just over 640 muscles, and you add it all up, there's actually, they reckon there's about 7,500 body parts. So don't be worried about there not being a job for you to do, because there's heaps of parts. And you can take it further than that. At any one time, you have 20 to 30 trillion red blood cells, and that gives them an estimated 724 trillion cells in your body. So if you think of the body of Christ, it's pretty big. There's only a few billion people in the world, so don't worry, there's plenty to do, and there's a place for you, there's a part for you to do. God's just amazing. Like, and that's just people, and then you think about all the animals and plants and the planets, and his creation is just boundless, and we're a special part of that. So, to get back to the plan, why are we here? What are we here for? In the catechism, it says, we hear man's chief reason is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. A.W. Tozer, some of you might know him, I'll just read you this little excerpt from him. He says that with this statement, to glorify God and enjoy him forever, the 24 elders, I didn't write the Bible verse on here, but they fall on their faces to worship him that liveth forever and ever, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God formed us for his pleasure, and so formed us that we, as well as he, can in divine communion enjoy the sweet and mysterious mingling of kindred personalities. He meant us to see him and live with him and draw our life from his smile. So, then we get what Jesus said we're here for. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the most important things he said from the law, was love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And then he also says, further on, he gives us the Great Commission. Go you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And don't forget, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here's another. Obviously, the Bible's full of things that we're to do here. Those are the main ones. We'll just give you a couple of others. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation so that we, as Christ's ambassadors, God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Ephesians, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're to fight the good fight, not forgetting the spiritual battle and what's going on, and you know, that we don't see, the greater plan. We're to be part of that fight. And then there's all the other stuff that's in the Bible. I'm just going through my reading, I'm like, I can read this chapter. Read it yourselves. It's great. The Bible's really good. Okay, but the main thing is that we're to love God and worship him and to bring other people to him. So what do we do with that? How do we break it down into everyday life? Our tendency is to look at life in stages. You start off as a child and you have dreams about what you're going to do, what you're going to be, farmer, policeman, dancer, whatever. I'm really stoked that my kids have now added in a few extras and they're actually thinking about things like, I'm going to be a prophet, I'm going to have a healing ministry, I'm going to be in the worship team. That's, you know, becoming life goals for them. It's great. And then you go into the, you know, we tend to think young adult when you're at school and you're getting an education and you're trying to work out what you're going to do with your life. And people have those annoying questions. What are you going to do when you leave school? I don't know. You don't have to know. It's okay. And then you get the working years where you have a job or, you know, and then you retire and then do other stuff. I don't know about that yet. There tends to be, we break life up into those blocks. But I'm not so sure that God sees it like that. Because he can use us all through our lives. And life changes. Those stages can be all over the place. Tried to write myself a diagram here. I've just got to figure it out. Give me a sec. Benji's been squiggling out my arrows as well. Okay, so you can... here's another way of looking at things. Some people... they have something that's with them from maybe from early childhood, and they train for that job or for that that goal, maybe for years, and it becomes kind of like a life mission. It's what they do. It's who they are. That's what they do. Okay. Some examples would be something like a in a profession like medical profession or an astronaut or something, you know, where you're working towards that for years and that becomes your whole thing. And then you get on the other side, you have not such specific stuff. Maybe you get a job because obviously you've got to pay the bills, you've got to eat, you've got to, you know, look after your family or whatever. And that can be like a, you just have a job and then you have the rest of your life and that gives you room for the other things. One's not better than the other. They're different. Each of us is created different, right? So we have different ways of doing things. So don't think, oh, that person's got their life sorted, they have this great mission, what's wrong with me, okay? It's not how we should look at it. Sometimes when you have that the type of situation where people have this big focus, it might be obviously working for God. It might be, like, I know, being a pastor or something, you know, particular, or it might not. It might also be kind of peripheral to the rest of your life. Again, everyone's different. Some people work through their lives and it's something they do and that they love, and then there'll be a window of time when they do something really amazing. I'll give you an example from the Bible. Jesus. He worked, actually, hold on, I'm getting this muddled up. Sorry. I'll leave that, but I'll come back to it in a minute. Okay, let me just sort my paper out. But do you get the idea? Everybody's situations are different. We each have goals. Okay, so what do we do with that? Where are you at right now? Okay, in that extension of life. It's never too late to change. It's never too late to start over. It's never too late to reassess where you're at. So what's the most important thing again is to walk with God, okay, to worship God. The more time that you spend with God in worshiping and talking and listening to him and obviously reading the word, the more you read it, the more that gives God the opportunities to work through you into what's going on around you. It's amazing often how what's happening in your life, when you're reading the word, suddenly things jump out and it totally speaks into your situation. And when just, you know, you're like, you come to church and you've got this difficult situation and then they just happen to be talking about what you need that day. If you're not in communication with God, you're not going to have that help to walk you through life. I just throw in a couple of ideas there. If you're not familiar studying the word, there's a couple of ways you can do it. I every couple of years, I read through the Bible as fast as I can, depending on how many kids I have at the time. I've done it in a couple of months, and this year I've done it 2 books a week. And it just gives me that overall view of the Bible, and it's amazing, like I said, how things just come out right at the moment where I'm reading it, how it affects me that week. It's what I needed to hear from the word. And then obviously the other way is to take the little bits, like you can gobble it in big chunks or you can take the crumbs. Go in depth. Don't be afraid to go deep, even if you don't think that you have the brains, for lack of a better way to put it. Like, don't be afraid to go deep in the word, to get the help that you need to study it, to go back to the big words. I like to, when I'm reading the Bible faster, I tend to go for something in more simple English, like the NLT or whatever. I like to go back to the King James. I've been reading the old King James this week. I was up in hospital again with Scotty, and that's the Bible I have in my emergency bag. And it's great to go back to the old and just go a bit deeper and to search out what the words mean and what was going on historically and all that sort of stuff. We need all the different ways of studying. And if you don't know how to study, then get help. Another thing that I found really interesting I learned recently when it talks in Corinthians about Paul saying about milk versus meat, and just thinking of it with my kids, he says, hold on, let me just find it, 1 Corinthians 3. I couldn't speak to you because you're like babies in Christ. I feed you with milk and not with solid food. I hadn't considered it as being, like, I think of either I take milk or I take meat. Like, but I hadn't, I was thinking of it as somebody giving that food to me. I hadn't thought of it as my kids get to a point where I'm not going to chew their food for them anymore. I'm not even going to feed them with a spoon. I'm going to expect them to eat it themselves. And that's what we need to do. There is a certain amount that we get from other people. We listen to good teaching. We read books or material, blogs, whatever. But we need to be eating ourselves and not expecting someone else to do the chewing for us all the time. Okay, so where are we? So we're going to walk with God. That's the most important part. Now, practically, especially if you're really lost and you don't know where you're at, that's where the body of Christ comes in, right? We have pastors, we have apostles, we have prophets to help lead us. No, wait, I've skipped a point. That's kind of in the spiritual spiritually, we need the armor of God on. And it's interesting how, when it talks about wearing the armor of God, it also gives us some good pointers on how to live effectively. God has given us gifts, okay? He gives each of us gifts and talents that we can reach out to others, but also use for ourselves and in our own growing and walking with Him. And we've had a lot of teaching on that over the last year or so, haven't we? We've talked about the gifts and how they work together, and we had teaching on the armor as well. So when we use the people in the family of God, we can get guidance from, say, you know, you've got the apostle that steers and gives you a kick in the pants if you need it, because let's face it, we often do need direction or whatever. When you're stuck, when you're lost, when you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, we have prophets for clarification, get that word from the Lord, get the encouragement, yes, I'm on the right track, or God loves you, whatever you're doing, you know, you get all that stuff. People to pray for you when you're in a difficult patch, or when you're not in a difficult patch. So going back into the practical, what do you have? How has God made you in His creativity to reach out to people? What do you have to offer back to God and to your family, to your friends, to our church, to, you know, church family here, and to the world? Each of us has things. And if you don't know what they are, then let us help you find out. There's a balance that comes with that of some of us have gifts that are really obvious. Leonie's sitting right in front of me, so, you know, singing, leading the worship, things like that, that are particular gifts that we have. There's also the other things. Cleaning the toilets, as Scott always likes to remind us. You know, there's the basic stuff in life. There's the mundane things that we can all help with. One of the reasons for being in a church family is that the Bible says we're to be submitted one to another. We're to work in together. We're to listen to what other people have to say. And so that ensures on this topic that we are doing what is biblical, what is godly. You know, if you get some idea in your head, I'm going to go off and I'm going to do this and it's going to be really great, and maybe someone needs to say to you, well, actually, I don't think that's right for you at this time, or it's not really what God would have, or something like that. We work in together. We have that safety together. So sometimes in life we prepare for things, we do study or we get a job or can be anything, and then maybe we don't use that for years and we think, why did I do that? Why did I take the wrong path? Did I hear God wrong? Why am I doing this? Just remember that life is long and God can use anything at any time. He might use what you've done years later quite unexpectedly. I've had a really good example of this in the last few months. I trained as a medic, worked at St. John's and then in the Navy. And I came out of the Navy after several years with no qualifications and handsome husband. Score. But for years, I thought, what was the point, apart from meeting Jeremy? What was the point? Like, here I am, I'm having kids, I won't be able to work in this field without further training later on, and do I even want to? And in the last 18 months, you would not I've lost count of how many times I've been to hospital with my own kids, with my neighbours, with friends. I've used certain knowledge that I had studied over the years. I totally misdiagnosed Jeremy's appendix. I thought he was just being a bit pathetic one night. Nearly burst. I took a neighbour's kid to hospital with appendicitis last year. I obviously learnt to diagnose that one. But all that to say that something that I thought had maybe been a waste of time, God has totally used it, and I have needed that sometimes in the last while, and I still have many years ahead of me when I may or may not use that. And it might be something big like that you've trained for, or it could be just a conversation that you've had, it could be a book that you've read, it could be something that God's shown you that years later you're in a situation and somebody, you're able to help somebody, or you need information that God has given you years before. So don't discount what you go through in your life. If it's difficult times, if you've been through the ringer, God can use that for good later on. So don't discount what happens. Give it to God, submit everything to God, and you'll be amazed at what he brings back. He does that with dreams as well. When you're really passionate and you really want to do something and you have this desire, maybe it's to do a particular job or to play an instrument or to whatever it would be, and there seems absolutely no possible way that you can do that, give it to God, because years later it might happen. He can then bring that passion back. Just hold it in your heart. Let's get my pages up here. Okay, so if you're thinking right now, okay, great, God's created me, I'm amazing, but I'm stuck in this dumb job, I'm just behind a desk, or I'm buzzing groceries, or making hamburgers, or whatever. How is this going to be effective for God? What have I got to offer? Sure, we need a job, we've got to eat, all that good stuff. Maybe, just maybe, that in that position, you're sharing the love of God in the mundane and simple things of life, and maybe in a rough situation, a rough job. And can that be glorious? Yes. That customer that you smile at and be nice to, maybe give them a patch of sunshine on a really dark day, that's an assignment from God. That workmate that annoys the snot out of you day after day, but is watching your life as you live for God, and maybe, just maybe, comes to Christ because you had the guts to live out real Christianity, that's you working for God. That's being who he created you to be. That dumb kid at school that has no friends and has a rough home life and is not cool, but that you befriend, that's you being God to them, showing them the love of Jesus. Song that you write when you're bored, or driving a truck, or singing in the shower, that's worshiping God for lack of anything else, and that's important. Grandchild that you care for, or the child that you clean vomit off all night long. That's working for God, okay? That's blessing your child or your grandchild or situation. Things that seem mundane and boring and unimportant, but it's still worshiping God, and it's still being who He created you to be. The people that you counsel, pray with, study with. All these ordinary things that make up our lives, but that is can be our worship to God, a witness to other people. And it's not about age. What is there around that you that you can do now? Like we said, if it's being a friend to somebody in school, or if it's when you're older. Maybe life will go on being you doing what you've always done. Maybe it won't be. Some people have a huge change later in life. There's always going to be opportunities if you're open to the Lord's leading, at whatever age and whatever stage of life that you're at. I'll give you a couple of examples from the Bible of people who were just living life and then suddenly God was able to use them, or maybe they got things terribly wrong and then God used them. Just some ones that people might be familiar with. I mentioned Jesus before. He worked as a carpenter. Okay, he had a, from what I understand, a fairly normal life. But it was in preparation for that short period where he changed the world, changed history, let us know God more. Paul got things seriously wrong at first. Okay, persecuting the Christians, going around messing with anybody who said they were a follower of Jesus. God got a hold of him. And look what he's done for us. Okay, he's written so much of the letters in the Bible and the effect that he had on the early church. Okay, God can use any situation and turn it. Esther, Queen Esther. Okay, a child that, from what I understand, had a pretty rough childhood. Would appear her parents were killed. Her uncle raised her, and he'd been moved with the Jews out of Jerusalem into a foreign place. She's going along through life, and suddenly the king decides that he's going to take all the pretty girls from half the world and bring them in to his harem. And if they're lucky, they'll get to see him, but maybe they won't, and they're stuck there for life. So it didn't look like a good situation by any means, but God used Esther to help save the Jews when Mordecai decided that he would, decided that, you know, he would try and help annihilate the Jewish people. Esther was in a position, she'd become queen, she put her life on the line, risked everything to go before the king, and eventually she was, you know, they were able to organize for the Jews to fight for themselves and to be saved. Terrible situation, God used her amazingly. Moses is another one that you're probably familiar with. Spent 40 years, pretty good life, living in the palace in Egypt, and then went out into the wop-wops for 40 years. Total different, you know, total life change. Became a shepherd instead of a prince for another 40 years. And then look what God got him to do. He goes back, helps the Israelites escape from Egypt, and walks with them for 40 years. And their wanderings, leading them, guiding them, put up with them. If you're not particularly familiar with the Bible, you could probably come up with a few people historically who have failed and failed and failed and then done something. Presidents, inventors, you know, when they spend years, thousands of mistakes, and then ta-da, we've got light bulbs. Yay! Okay? There's a few actors that didn't end up necessarily glorifying God, but they haven't, you know, when I saw Morgan Freeman, we just saw him in something the other day, he got his first major movie role at 52. So don't think, and, you know, there's like, you know, designers and stuff, Oprah got fired from her first reporting job at 23. You know, there's all these people that life hasn't looked that great for them, but then eventually they've done something. So don't think that age, you know, you don't have to do everything in your 20s. It's not all. There's still heaps of life after that. I'm just throwing stuff around. Okay, so. I'm going to find the right page again. Going back to the stage of life, if you're getting on in years and you don't think you have anything left to offer, maybe you can do nothing but pray for people. How important is that? How many times have we had our lives affected by the people praying for us? And praying, you know, we talk to God and we have that one-on-one communication, but also we have the prayer that changes situations, that works in the heavenlies, that changes what's going on spiritually. And so by you're sitting praying when you think you have nothing else to do, you're affecting history, you're affecting eternity. That's amazing, right? Really amazing. Maybe you're in a position where you feel like life has fallen apart. Maybe you feel like you've been useless to God. Maybe you haven't been walking with God and your life has been a mess. Like I've said, God can redeem anything. He can turn anything around. I love that story of the cracked pot, where there's two earthenware, you know, clay pots, and that a woman's using on a bar to walk along to collect her water from the well. And she walks back to her house each day with her water. And one of the pots has a big crack in it. And day after day, the water just dribbles out of the pot onto the path as she's walking along. And the pot finally says to its owner, "Why do you keep me? I'm of no use. I just dribble. You have hardly any water left when you get back. Why? And she says to the pot, "Have you looked at the path where we've walked each day? And there's flowers growing all down one side of the path. And this pot has been watering the flowers." And she said, "I keep you because I like flowers. And you are actually useful to me." So maybe you're a cracked pot. Maybe you don't see how God is using you. Maybe you've even got to the point where you feel like you're not just the cracked pot, but you're all the smashed pieces of the pot. What can God do with that? Maybe like the painting at the back there, "Broken Hallelujah," that song. You just come broken before God. Let me give you another couple of pictures. Have you ever seen a mosaic where they get the little pieces of pottery, different colors, and they're all stuck together to make different shapes, to make a beautiful picture? Okay? The broken pieces can be made into something beautiful. Stained glass window. Or you know, anything made with the stained glass, they actually break the glass on purpose in those cases, but you can bring all the little pieces together to make something beautiful. God is the master creator. He can bring the broken stuff together to make something beautiful. I've always loved the verse Romans 8:28. Many of you know, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. The part that I always forgot or didn't really know so well was the next verse where it says that those that he knew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So when you're thinking, I don't see how all this good stuff works together, it's not helping, it's painful, it's whatever. God's aim is to conform us to the image of his son, to make us like Jesus. And sometimes that takes taking off the rough edges. It might be uncomfortable, but it doesn't mean that he can't use the bad stuff in our lives for good. We can look again at that picture of the puzzle, of how we might just see the back of the puzzle, the plain brown how do the pieces fit together, God? This piece is missing from my life or whatever. But he is making the beautiful picture on the other side. So, pretty much done. I'll just give you a couple of points just to sort of try and tie all that back in together. God made us to worship him and to enjoy him, and for him to enjoy us. God has given each one of you, each one of us, particular gifts and talents. How are you going to use them? What are you going to do to develop them, maybe? And how is that going to work out in the stage of life that you're at now? If you don't know, or if you need help with that, that's what we're here for, as a family, as a fellowship, and as leadership, is to pray with you, to mentor you. I didn't really talk about mentoring, but that's what we're learning about now, is how when you have, it can either be one-on-one or in a group, where you get together with some, and so that you build the relationship and the trust so that they can walk through you with life and help you to find what you need to be doing, and to help you learn and grow. Nothing done for God is too small. Nothing that's a part of you is too small to offer to God, but don't be afraid to think big and to go all out for him. And I'll leave you with a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Another one like that. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Work at it with your whole being for the Lord and not for men. So I hope that made sense, and I hope it's encouraged you. And like I said, if you want prayer or if you need help with figuring out what God has created you to be and do, then let us help you. Let us pray for you. Yeah, should we worship?